Masayoshi-san, CEO of SoftBank, once said, "I would say that hardware is the bone of the head, the skull. The semiconductor is the brain within the head. The software is the wisdom, and data is the knowledge." I couldn't have said it better myself. Hi there, everyone. Welcome to episode number 483 of this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Where are we going in this episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry? To the world of semiconductors, that's where. My guest is Athenia CEO Laura Matz, and we're investigating how Athenia is using AI and big data to solve critical semiconductor challenges. We also take a closer look at the collaborative data sharing of the Athenia platform, and why military-grade requirements for data security take center stage when it comes to Athenia's cloud infrastructure and operations. But before we bring in Laura, how about a little news you may have missed? So, what if solar cells didn't just work during the day? What if we could develop solar cells that also worked at night? Well, this is exactly what a team of researchers at the University of New South Wales, or UNSW, has done. They have recently developed the inverse of a conventional solar cell. And guess what? It works! So, the device developed by this team at UNSW is called a thermoradiative diode, and it works pretty much like the inverse of a solar cell. It accepts thermal energy radiated from the Earth, or any other heat source, and then turns the flow of energy across a temperature differential into electrical potential. But get this, this new diode is actually constructed using some of the same materials used in infrared night vision goggles. Dr. Michael Nielsen, a lecturer and researcher at UNSW's School of Photovoltaic and Renewable Energy Engineering, explains their technology like this. He says, "It is truly the inverse of a conventional solar cell in its functionality. The idea that thermodynamically we can produce power via the emission of light rather than the absorption can be a stumbling block for many. But much like a solar cell, what we ultimately have here is a heat engine, with the difference being swapping the power converter from the cold side, or the solar cell being on Earth absorbing photons from the sun, to the hot side, or the thermal radiative diode being on Earth emitting photons into the coldness of space." So, this kind of technology isn't exactly new. The concept of these kind of emissive energy harvesters was conceived way back in 2014. But this is the first time that a thermal radiative diode has actually demonstrated to produce a measurable amount of power. So how much power are we talking about here? Well, pretty small. With a temperature differential of just about 12.5 degrees Celsius, this team from UNSW managed to measure a peak thermal radiative electrical power density of 2.26 milliwatts per square meter, with an estimated radiative efficiency of 1.8%. So yes, I hear you loud and clear, my fish frying audience. Amelia, that's really not a lot of power. Yes, I agree. But this team contends that it is possible for this technology to ultimately produce about 1/10 of the power of a typical solar cell. Still, that's not a lot of power. Yes, but think of it like this. This kind of technology could be used to generate power from just about anything that glows when you look at it through a thermal camera. So you could potentially harvest energy from industrial waste heat, or even create bionic devices that run off of your own body heat. UNSW Assistant Professor Ekins Dox puts this development in focus like this. He says, "I think for this to be a breakthrough technology, we shouldn't underestimate the need for industries to step in and really drive it. I'd say there's still about a decade of university work to be done here. But then it needs industry to pick it up. If industry can see this as a valuable technology for them, then progress can be extremely fast. The miracle of solar power today owes itself to world-renowned researchers like Professor Martin Green at UNSW, but also the industrialists who raised large sums of money to scale up manufacturing." Well said, Assistant Professor Ekins Dox. So, if you want even more information about this super cool new research study, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. All right, it's time to bring in Laura Matz from Athenia and talk all about collaboration across the semiconductor industry, creating new insights in material optimization, predictive material analytics, and how we can tackle the most difficult semiconductor challenges today and tomorrow. Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure, Amelia. Great to be here.
So first off, for my audience who may not know, Laura, what is Athenia all about?
We're really excited. We launched Athenia in December of 2021, and we're focused on providing a platform for collaborating on relevant information from participants across the semiconductor industry, specifically device manufacturers and material suppliers, so that they can come together and share data in a safe way. And the benefit for both suppliers and device manufacturers is you can now start to unlock new insights around materials quality and how that links to manufacturing processes, as well as provide a level of supply chain transparency and potentially eventually sustainability insights as well. And so the insights that we gain from this ecosystem can then help companies drive better business decisions using a combination of new data analytics, AI, and machine learning methods, but also with the process knowledge and chemical knowledge that each company brings to their own products or processes. And so bringing this together really unlocks a level of insight that we haven't necessarily had before. The key to do this is to have a unified approach that's standardized across the supply base and the device manufacturers, but in a very secure environment. And so that's really one of the key tenets to make this work. Athenia is a partnership between Merck KGaA Darmstadt Germany and Palantir. And the benefit here is that we've combined the key expertise areas, the high level of data security that comes from the Palantir expertise, combined with the longstanding expertise that Merck KGaA Darmstadt Germany has in electronic materials, as well as science and technology in general, to really bring together and enable these new insights.
So Laura, I saw recently that Athenia is going to accelerate the use of AI and big data to solve those critical semiconductor challenges. So first, can we take a closer look at what exact challenges you're looking to solve?
So probably most listeners have heard of the chip shortage, given the impact to several industries, probably the most notable being the automotive. And the challenge is that really the device manufacturers are out of capacity. So we can imagine that any disruption within the manufacturing process for chips to go to these key customers could have a greater impact on the chip shortage. Or if we can unlock additional yield so they have more devices per wafer, this can open up additional capacity and supply. And so where we're focused on is to make sure to work with the material suppliers and the device manufacturers to make sure that there's no disruption caused by either supply chain issues or quality issues from those materials, as well as potentially creating new insights in terms of the materials optimization that can help improve yield within the processes and the manufacturing plants. And so this is an area where by using AI and machine learning, we're able to unlock these kind of new insights that we haven't been able to see before. Traditionally, each company looks at the optimization of their own process. And that's been, you know, with the level of expertise within the industry, really excellent engineering, that's taken us a lot of the way forward. The challenge is now all of those easy things have been done. And so as we bring the data sets together between material suppliers and device manufacturers and across the supply chain, we can now start to look at interactions that may be happening between those two entities. Due to the growing complexity of the industry, we have to enable higher yield and produce chips with zero defects almost continuously so that the device manufacturers can reduce the time to market. What we've seen is that as we bring the data sets together, we're able to unlock or see parameters that impact the performance that maybe we weren't able to identify before. And this really helps the material suppliers then go focus and work with their supply chain to optimize either the supply or the performance or optimize their own manufacturing performance so it can be more tailored to the device manufacturer's process. The Athenia platform leverages AI to solve these critical challenges within the industry and really help the entire supply chain to move forward.
Laura, let's talk about the collaborative data sharing aspect of your platform. Can you explain how your solution differs from a traditional independent control of parameters?
Absolutely. This industry, especially because of the high technical know-how and proprietary information that goes into making the devices or the specific materials that go into the manufacturing process, each company is very sensitive about their data. And traditionally, the data has really been held within the company. So we're talking about Athenia platform enabling data to come together. But of course, it has to take into consideration how the IP is protected from each individual company. And so the Athenia platform enables each company to have data on their ecosystem, but then the sharing of data and the data collaboration is done in a hyper-secure way with coding and anonymization, as well as a high level of data security. And that really enables each company to feel confident that they're sharing the data in the way that they want to without letting go of any proprietary information. And so really then the focus, once you get over that data security concern, you can really focus on the correlations and the insights or the parameters that come out of that data analysis and focus the efforts there. When we talk about using AI and machine learning for predictive material analytics, it's really pivotal to think about how we can identify these key parameters. So we bring the data sets together, we use both off-the-shelf machine learning models as well as some custom algorithms, and this enables us to have some flexibility depending on what the data is and also what are the right correlations that we need to identify. The good news is it's a very highly secure platform, but also user-friendly. And so that also enables each customer and each company using the data ecosystem to be able to design the interfaces and the data sharing in the way that they're most comfortable.
So Laura, I saw that you're cloud infrastructure and operations comply with military grade requirements for data security. So talk to me more about that in particular.
So I mentioned that this is a partnership between Merck KGaA, Darmstadt Germany, and Palantir coming together is Athenia. Merck side brings the semi expertise and understanding. The Palantir side brings really this capability embedded in the software to have hyper security that they built over years of experience working with both government agencies as well as other companies. And so we're able to enable collaboration while also preserving the IP security and also the full ownership. So we normalize and code the data, and that's one key to it. But there's also levels of control in terms of access rights and making sure that there's a level of data security and protection. We've demonstrated this actually with another joint venture we have with Palantir called Syntropy, which is focused on the healthcare industry. And so that also has the need for very secure data confidentiality, given that it has patient data in that case. And so we demonstrated that the very high standards of separation and confidentiality can meet the healthcare industry. We're now using this for the semiconductor industry as well. I would say a couple key features of the data protection, just to highlight this. The first is that really we can have very granular permissions. So you can imagine when you bring data into the ecosystem, the concern is, well, who has access to the data? And so a couple key elements of this, the first is that you can have very granular permissions. So someone that's working on a specific process module could potentially only have access to that process module, or only a subset of the material supplier data that they absolutely need to. And then on top of that, we can have a tracking system that's managed by a user from that company that can monitor basically who's using the data, how many times they're using the data, and make sure that there's purpose associated with that. And that gives a level of auditing capability that is embedded in the platform, which helps really drive multiple levels of security embedded in the ecosystem. So I think that's one of the things we've seen be very important. On top of that, Palantir's data security tool enables encryption of data and very sophisticated kind of deletion policies as well. So say you put data onto the platform and then you decide to delete it, all of these are embedded capabilities within the platform.
So Laura, can you walk me through a couple examples of your platform in action? What kind of issues have you seen it solve in the field?
Absolutely. So this is really where the proof is in the results that we can drive. And so I'll give you an example that we've seen in collaboration with both internally and then with the customer in terms of our pilots that we've run. The first is internally. We had a process where we were working very closely with one of our raw material suppliers. And you can imagine that the raw material supplier has many processing steps along the way, and they collect data on each of those steps. So there's the raw material, then it's processed, then it's purified and sent to our manufacturing site. We then also purify it and then put it into the final blend. We had been working on an engineering challenge for the past 5 years, and many, you know, really great engineers had worked on this. When we brought all the data together and looked at it using machine learning models, we found that there was two parameters, one in our pre-processing step, as well as one in the raw material supplier step, that actually made the difference in terms of the performance. And so once we identified that, we were able to go back to the raw material supplier and say, hey, you know, we need you to improve this part of the process that you're doing. We had worked with them for a long time, so we really had a good working relationship and we could really work on solving that problem quickly. It also helped us then optimize the intermediate processing step. So that's an example of the benefit of working between a material supplier and the raw material supplier and really focusing each company's efforts on the things that matter most to drive improved consistency and reduce the variability in the process. On the customer side, of course, this becomes even more complex because once the material goes into the customer site, it's integrated into a device integration. And so there are many steps that come before the process step that's using that material. And then, of course, many process steps after that. And so being able to track down what process makes a difference and how that relates to the material can be challenging. But when we brought the data from that process step together with the raw material, the manufacturing data from the internal process, as well as the finished goods parameters, what we saw was that there was an interaction between one of the process steps in the fab, in the manufacturing plant for the device, with the raw material. And so again, same thing. When we identified that parameter, we were able to go back to the raw material supplier and improve it. We had worked on this raw material before, so we knew kind of where to focus once we knew what parameter mattered. And so these examples are really important because they highlight that there's many things a material supplier can do, but knowing which one matters to the device performance and to the device process, that the process step that's using that material really focuses everyone's efforts. And so this is what we've seen over and over. It's kind of this needle in the haystack concept. And it's just because there's so many interactions that happen between the device integration, the many process steps that go into manufacturing a process, as well as all the complexity of making these customized materials, especially as technology nodes have advanced to smaller and smaller device sizes.
Absolutely. All right, Laura, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, since you haven't been on my show before, you get the standard. So here we go. Now, a lot of us, Laura, can't have our favorite foods for one reason or another. The restaurant's closed. It's on the other side of the world. So if you could have one meal right now, doesn't matter if you need a passport to get there or the restaurant's closed, what would you have?
Oh, that's an easy answer for me. So I lived in Taiwan for 3 years. And one of my family and my favorite places to go was a small dumpling shop next to our apartment. And so if I could go anywhere, I would go to Taiwan to this dumpling shop and I would have the curry dumplings. They are absolutely my favorite.
Nice. Oh, that sounds delicious. Awesome. Well, Laura, this has been super cool. Thank you so much for taking your time to speak with me today.
Thank you so much. It was really a fun discussion.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you would like to follow my personal Twitter account, check out Amelia D. 1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. It is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help. Also, if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or heck you just want to chat, shoot me a line at Amelia, that's A-M-E-L-I-A, at eejournal.com, or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of May 27th, 2022, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.